Thank you, Eve, for cultivating your talent at such a young age. And thank you, Susan, for setting that tone of meditation several minutes prior to the service. My brothers and I would like to welcome you to the house of the Lord this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ, who is full of mercy, kindness, grace, and love. And He has a great love for each one of you. And He wants to have that personal relationship with you. That personal relationship that you know He is with you every hour of every day. And that you allow Him to be with you every hour of every day. We are have a special occasion here today. That of the ordinance of blessing of children. This is such a precious ordinance in the church. And these little ones are so precious not only to us as grandparents and mothers and fathers, but they are also so precious to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for our call to worship, I would like to read from Matthew the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Let's continue our worship by singing the hymn that's the insert in your bulletin.
Thank you. Our Father who art in heaven, it is in the sacred name of thine only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ, that we are privileged to gather before thee, Father, in this thy house. We are so thankful for this sanctuary and for thy good spirit that meets us here whenever we come in preparation. And we are thankful, Father, for this country where we can come freely, and for each of this congregation assembled here, Father. And so we would at this time unite our hearts in our prayer and offer up unto thee, Father, even a prayer of faith, that truly your Holy Ghost might dwell with us in great power, that each one in this place today, Father, might feel the power, even as it is manifest through the sacred ordinances of thy church. And so we seek now that this time of worship might be consecrated for the benefit of our souls, that it might be acceptable unto thee, O God our Father, that it might bring honor and praise and glory unto thy name, and that it might truly touch the heart and mind and soul of each one here, Father, who have come apart from the world seeking your blessing. And so we now seek thy face and ask thy Holy Spirit to dwell with us, and we do pray it in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
You know, as I drove up today to the church parking lot, it was kind of thin. And I thought, where is everybody? And I had to leave and come back, and it filled up a little bit more. And then I got into class late. And the class was fair-sized. And it was talking about pillars a little bit. And I realized at this time that I was happy to see you out there now, fair-sized group today, and that you are all pillars, even my little Harper that I have to wave to, and Ella. But I appreciate each and every pillar in this congregation. And without your pillar, we couldn't have a church. We couldn't have and do the things that the Lord asks us. So your input matters a lot. Not only in spirit, but money. So at this time, would you bow with me for the offertory? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this time we are in, for the trials and tribulations that we have in our lives. May we continue to work for you and do your will. And may these monies collected be for that. And may we always look to you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to read to you from Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 13 through 15. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, saying, There is no need, for Jesus hath said, Such shall be saved. But Jesus said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed thence. As I read that yesterday, my mind went to the woman who had an illness. And she was in the crowd, the multitude that surrounded Jesus. You see, she had heard and seen many of the miracles that Jesus had performed. And she knew if she could just get close enough and touch his garment, that maybe she too could be healed. And the scriptures say that when she did this, Jesus noticed this. He felt virtue leave him. And he turned to this woman and said, Because of thy faith, you are made whole. You know, as I just read to you here, Jesus oftentimes had many multitudes and groups of people around him as he taught to them. And you know, we read here that these children, that these parents, these mothers, were trying to get closer to Jesus and requesting of him to lay his hands on their children. And the disciples actually became a little frustrated or annoyed by this. And you might see their point of view, because they were trying to protect the Savior's time and energies. But you know, one thing the disciples didn't understand at that time, that Jesus' ministry turns away no one. And he ministers to everyone, even those little children. And so he rebuked the disciples and had them children come unto him to lay his hands upon them for that blessing. And so it is this example that was set forth many years ago. We are going to witness that this day. And just as those parents and those mothers brought their children before Christ for him to lay his hands on them, so we will do today. And Michael and Brittany, you've done a good thing here this day to bring little Sadie before the elders of the church. And that's a commandment we have as members of this church. And this is a good thing. You're also placing Sadie under the protecting influence of Jesus Christ. And in 3 Nephi, starting in part of 23rd verse, reading through part of 26. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again, and he spake unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open. They saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. You see, these angels can minister to our little ones and protect them, even with this encircling them with fire. So this is a good thing you have done, but this is not all. We as members, grandparents, and parents, we have to teach our little ones to live righteously. Teach them the gospel. Teach them the principles of the gospel and that of living a righteous life. And to teach our children and little Sadie that Jesus Christ is her only Savior. And we as members also have that responsibility. Teach those things to our children and those children's children amongst our congregation here. And to provide that church environment, even that Zionic community, that will uphold and teach the attributes of Jesus Christ. In a few moments here, we will witness this ordinance, a blessing of children. You see, these little ones, our children, are our most precious possession. And many times in life, we have to be reminded of that. They are so precious. And in Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, or 17, this is the command we are given. Every member of the church of Christ having children is to bring them unto the elders before the church. Who are to lay their hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ and bless them in His name. So, brothers and sisters, as we have a few moments here, as the ministry of music is provided by Brother Bill, may we think about and meditate upon the importance of this ordinance. And how precious these little ones are.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nesting bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God His own doth tend and nourish In his holy courts they flourish. From all evil things he spares them. In his mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Praise the Lord in joyful numbers, your protector never slumbers. At the will of your defender, every foeman must surrender. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. Is the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Sadie Jo Barker, daughter of Michael and Brittany Barker, will be blessed by Elder Mike Moores and Elder Todd Schoeneman.
Our Father in heaven, we as a body of your people bow our heads together. In this tender moment, in this quiet place. And Lord, we do it with joy because Michael and Brittany bringing their little girl, Sadie Jo Barker, to be blessed, for they recognize the gift of heaven that she is to them. And they want the absolute best for their little girl. And so they have done right in bringing her to be blessed and keeping the commandment. And following that example that was done by our Savior Jesus and inviting the little ones to come unto him, though they be without sin, that they would receive a special blessing. Lord, you created Sadie in every detail. You know the gifts and talents that you have given her. In such a young life, and so much life yet to be lived, we look forward to seeing those talents revealed. And we pray that you would give her opportunity to develop them, and that she may use them for your purposes and your good, that she would be a blessing to those around her. Lord, we just count it a joy and ask that you would help us to learn from her even now of how she represents that kingdom of God. Father, we ask that you would bless and protect her throughout her young life. Protect her physically, spiritually, and mentally. And Lord, when she is met with challenges, we pray that you would give her the strength to overcome and to endure, and that she would be an example to those around her of strong faith. Father, we ask that you would also always place around her good people that would influence her to do good. And we pray even that the friends that she chooses, that they would be a good challenge to her in strengthening her faith, and that she would be a good friend to them. That she would become a handmaiden of the Lord. Father, we pray for her home, and that it would be a training ground for her in instruction, but not only in word, but by example, that she would grow up in a household of faith. Lord, we pray that the people of your church would always love and support her and teach her of your ways, and that when she reaches that age of accountability, that she may choose for herself to follow Christ and to take upon her his name, and to make that covenant with him in the waters of baptism. Lord, we count it all a joy for this precious treasure that you've given to this young family. And we simply ask for your blessings to be upon her throughout her life. And we pray this in the powerful and tender name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's a very, very delightful day. Our Lord makes it so. Even when we can't see the sun upon the earth, there's a grand purpose in being alive each day. We've been treated royally already this morning, as we've witnessed and shared in the ordinance of this little child, of the blessing of this little child. Even though God has prevents Satan from having any influence on this little child, yet He knows that the child is being brought into this venue of mortality. And it's a venue of wickedness. It's the venue, though, that was asked by the predecessors of all of us to learn about. They wanted to know good and evil. So the Lord very graciously provided an avenue by which they could do this. So as a little child, we're born into this venue. And even though Satan is barred from influencing their life, the evil that already exists in this venue makes efforts to try to lead her astray. She needs to have that kind of blessing, at least until she's old enough to make a choice of whether or not to pledge her life to the God who made her in the name of His only begotten Son at the time she would be baptized. And then there follows already the plan by which she can continue to be blessed from blessings that are so far rich and valued that we can't measure them or even fully sense them, the depth and the value of the blessings the Lord holds forth for us. And I'm always glad to share in an ordinance of the blessing of little children. We live in a day of great wickedness. And we live in a day of rich promise and great truth. And righteousness has been manifested unto us and continues to be manifested unto us if we heed what He has already said to us and use it as a guide to our way back to His domain, His kingdom. And that's what, of course, we are here to want to do. Never has there been so much wickedness, so much rejection of what God has provided in the way of truth and righteousness than there is perhaps today, because there are more people on the surface of the world today than there have ever been. And one of the greatest wonders, I have many wonders in this life, and things that cause me to ponder as to how the Lord brought certain things to play when He has brought certain things into play. And I've often wondered about how so many people can be blessed in so many ways and yet at the same time turn away and reject what He has offered to them that has so much value, as I've just mentioned, that they can't measure it, and yet they're happy in their rejection of it. That's the level of sin. We live in a world in which the greatness of life, that which He has to offer us, that which He created us to participate in, is passing most of us by. When I say us, I'm speaking of the world now. I've extended my editorial use of the word us to the world. Most of the world is passing by the richest thing that could happen to them, the greatest enterprise which they could join. And they can't see it. Or they don't want to see it. But it's still there. And we have those who see it, those who sense it to any extent whatsoever, know that we have a responsibility to try to share about that great plan of salvation in ways that can attract and can lead others to turn to that way. And we've got to know what that plan is. And we've got to sense the value of the things that the Lord has said by seeing that we do what is required for us to do in order for us to receive the value of those things. You see what God has done. He's invited us to join His enterprise. That's the first words we heard when we were created as spiritual beings. Most of the Christian world doesn't know that. Boy, that's one of those things that the Lord has seen fit to restore for the knowledge and the awareness of those children who walk in the latter days. He wanted them to know that not only that He created them, now the world knows this, but He also spoke to them and gave them their challenge in life, which was nothing less than the invitation to join Him, to be concerned about things that He's concerned. And they would inherit power that they cannot measure, because God has said He's willing to share all things with them. And all of the spirits of men He created before He created man in the flesh. And He spoke to them. And I believe I was there. I believe this is a little child who we saw blessed this morning was there. And I believe all of the souls in heaven perhaps had their attention focused upon this moment in which these parents have brought this little child for a blessing to help this child reach its destiny, to have a chance to choose to walk in the ways that the Lord challenged them to walk when they were still with Him in the spirit world. The Lord also said many things to us. The record is full of gems of wisdom that we can't measure. But when He pours out His Spirit upon us because we've sought in prayerful ways and in righteous ways to follow Him sufficiently where He can do that, then we begin to sense the values and we begin to see. And oh, how grateful we are. But the Lord has said, and I especially probably since He gave the first of our parents a chance to live in His presence in an immortal kingdom until they made their choice. Perhaps they didn't make it in as direct a sense as we think of it, but the result was they rebelled against Him. They thought, well, even though He told us that not to do something, by rebelling, this meant, well, maybe He didn't know it all. Maybe there's some reason why He missed this, but it sure looks good to me. But at any rate, when we turn our way to Him, He begins to share with us. But in the spirit world, as I said, He gave us all the opportunity. And I've often wondered why that was natural that the Lord restore that. That's right at the end of the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, the first three chapters of Genesis were coming down, had been lost, and and the Lord had restored them to Moses. And it was Moses' influence that got that record created. And but they were tampered with later on, and of course they've had to be restored in the last days. All that precious truth that was rejected and deleted from the first record. And we now have that. But one of those gems that he told us was, it is given, he said, to abide in you the record of heaven. I pondered about that many times. But then the Lord goes on to say what he means by the record of heaven. The peaceable things of immortal glory, the comforter. The truth of all things. The knowledge of all things. And the power by which all things, by which all things are quickened and created. He has given us, you see, in joining that enterprise, the authority and the challenge to, if we accept it, to join him. And that's his enterprise, is to create life, to be concerned about it, and to have it function in a way that he has designed it to function. You see, life is not just physically bringing something into existence, but it's making sure that that life continues to function in the ways that God designed it to function. So we're caretakers of life. We have to sense the full challenge of what the Lord has given to us in that enterprise that he spoke to us while we were in heaven before we took our turn to come here. But oh, how gracious is the Lord and how wise is he in giving us those things. It is given to abide in us. The record of heaven. And I think there is a record of heaven, especially, that keeps track of every righteous and good and perfect thing that happens. There's probably a record of heaven that keeps track of all the other things that aren't righteous that we do. But it is a complete record of the events that take place upon the earth. And to me, he is telling us, it is a given to have this abide in you. All the truth and the knowledge of things that have gone past, as well as the things that are coming. You can have this abide in you now. But we've had very few people upon the earth reach that level and reach that belief and extended their faith in such strength that the Lord could provide them the benefits of what he said, I've given to you. There have been a number of righteous men, and oh, how grateful you and I are that they've gone before, and the means that was provided to us as to what they accomplished, what they did, and how they approached the Lord, and how the Lord blessed them. I almost wanted to turn to some of the writings of Enoch. And this morning I woke up and it was still raining, after raining all night and raining the day before. It was the concern of Enoch when God showed Enoch, as he stood in his presence, and this was before Enoch had reached the time on our calendar here upon earth in which Zion was brought into being. But the Lord had taken him up because of his faith that he exhibited to him. And he was a man of as he identifies it, a man of poor speech. How could you choose me to do anything? But because his faith was so complete, when he turned to the Lord began to do things and give blessings to him and began to show him many things that were on this record of heaven. He knew them. And began to show him things that yet weren't happened, wouldn't happen, hadn't happened upon the earth. He knew what things would happen. You see, that's some of the wealth, that's some of the tremendous richness of the gifts that God wants to give to us. So this statement, "It is given to abide in you," means it's a process by which I can bless you with all the things that I have, that I've done. I want you to join with me in that same enterprise. And so it was the concern of Enoch that gave us so many rich gems of wisdom in the early scriptures. For Enoch was shown everything down to the earth. But his concern began to show. He was taking on the same concern that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven was showing when Enoch was shown that all of his brothers and sisters were going to be drowned in the flood because they refused to turn to him. He was concerned about that because he had taken upon that spectrum of being concerned for all things that God was concerned about. That's the enterprise that God has invited him to. And he began to sense that. And he sought somehow that the Lord might bless those people in a way. And the Lord did tell him, well, even though they would all be lost in the flood, he had not completely forgotten them. For they would be taken to a, even though they, because of their wickedness, they rejected any pretense at trying to be saved. And because of that, they were drowned in the flood. But he said, I have a special place for them. And there they will go and have a chance to see what righteousness was all about. Well, the main reason was because their parents failed to teach them about the need to be baptized, to turn their life to Christ, and that there was a way of salvation. There was a way of overcoming all the sadness and the miseries of this life. And because their parents had failed to teach them, the Lord was giving them another opportunity, you see, to hear that. But the Lord has provided for any of us who want to come and exercise that kind of faith in Him, to recognize the commission that He's given to us, that we might turn into Him. But anyway, I want to get to one more before the rain start coming, no, before our hour of sharing ends. Enoch began to show concern for Noah and began to plead, first of all, about, will you not come ever do this again, is really what he was saying. Don't bring the floods on to destroy all life. And the Lord promised him that he wouldn't, of course. And then he went on to, that was Enoch, he was promising. And then he went on to answer his other query. That so when Enoch said, will you not come again? Because he showed him that the Lord was had been born into the world, but yet the world had taken his life and put him on a cross. And then his really concern was showing. He began to weep for the loss of all the life because they had failed miserably to understand the purpose of Christ and to accept their challenge in life. And so the Lord answered him, yes. Enoch was concerned about two things primarily. When will the earth rest? Because he had heard the earth moan and groan when he saw all the wickedness take place and all of the destruction of the flood of the lives of his people. He heard the earth give expression, which it could do and can do. Just as like Jesus said, if you squelch those who want to offer praise to me as he entered Jerusalem, he said even the very rocks would cry out. But Enoch heard some of this. And he began to plead with God, can you, first of all, will the day ever come when the earth will rest? And the Lord said, yes, it will. But before that day comes, he says, a veil of darkness shall cover the earth. Then he went on to say, great tribulations shall be among the people of the earth because of their wickedness and vengeance. But righteousness and truth will I send to the earth. And righteousness and truth will I cause the earth to be swept with righteousness and truth, that I might gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare. So we know that Zion is not amongst us because the Lord hasn't prepared the place for it yet. And he's waiting on enough people who show enough interest in it. And he's waiting on you and I the same way. Have you ever wondered how can so many men and women live upon the earth? They're 80 or plus or minus something. Although the earlier human specimens were given a longer time upon the earth for some reason, it appeared. For they record their ages in the record we have up into hundreds of years of life here upon the earth. But at any rate, how many men and women have rejected, you think, this prayer, versus how many have accepted it enough to show? How many times have Zion, this is something that the Lord once demonstrated upon the earth. It was demonstrated once so the earth could see. It was demonstrated once, but he's anxious now because we're in the last days that it be done once more. And the earth will not end. This venue of mortal living will not end until Zion is established once again. And so the Lord is saying, righteousness and truth will I send to earth with a flood to gather out mine elect. And righteousness will come down out of heaven, and that's already happened once. And truth will I bring forth out of the earth, that's already happened once. Whether or not he has already swept the earth again with righteousness and truth, I look for another event in which that will take place in such an astounding, in such ways that will cause us to marvel is the very strongest sense I can find right at the moment to say. The Lord will demonstrate to us and demonstrate in a way that it says that only the most stubborn of His children who are waiting in the depths of hell will still fail to acknowledge Him and bow the knee. And they, of course, will be the one for whom there will be no resurrection. But the Lord has great plans for all those who want to turn to Him. And we know that. So I begin to search all back through. Besides Enoch's day, Melchizedek was an honest man and a great Christian and an upholder and a teacher of the truth. It says such a little short record about him and his people. His people wrought righteousness and obtained heaven and obtained Zion. They wanted to join the team of Zion. And they did. So how much was it? It was not a condition reached as the condition of Zion, apparently, on the earth. But there were a few people who were righteous enough, and for some reason, the Lord took them up to Zion, and, or up to His kingdom. And then, of course, we believe that there was a day in the day of Nephi, the son of Helaman. We have that as the third book of Nephi. I believe after Christ came and appeared to them, that they had a Zionic condition for the first 100 years or so upon the earth, where the Lord acknowledged them in that way. And I often wondered how they got there so fast. They got there so fast because they had Christ in their midst immediately after He brought the preparation into play. He had to cleanse the earth. He had to prepare a place for Zion to be developed. And He did. And it was in great tragedy. And we won't go into that. But at any rate, his group, that would be Nephi, the son of Helaman, was the leader. And you wonder, well, why weren't they taken up into heaven? It doesn't say they were. Because they were living a life of correction here upon the earth, and perhaps a chance to use that in an influential way. But they couldn't hold tight to it for more than, say, 100 or 200 years. They began to let evil back in their midst. And they didn't need to be protected in any way, so that's why the Lord didn't, for their own protection, bring them up out of the midst of wickedness. They had this land all to themselves with a promise from God that He would reserve it for them as long as they could maintain absolute righteousness before Him. But what was it? What was it that they did that we're not doing? We've had, or at least I've had, not too far from 100 years upon the earth. I don't see it any closer than it was at any time in my past. In fact, it may have been somewhat better in the past. There's something missing, folks, in what we're doing. And we must be too satisfied with what we're doing to want to bring about some change. What key word can you think of or find? So I turn back to Enoch's record again. Certainly there must be something. And I think I found it. The Lord gave me strong and influenced my mind and with that good spirit confirmed into me, here's what we're waiting for. He was speaking to Noah, and he was expanding and enlarging, but establishing the covenant that he'd made with Enoch about not having it rain again and destroy all life with the flood, and setting the rainbow in the clouds as a reminder. He added one extra phrase when he was talking with Noah, when he said, when thy posterity shall embrace the truth, that's when the Zion in heaven will look down. Oh, pardon me, I left out an important phrase. When thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then he says, Zion shall look downward. Now, folks, there's something different here between, there's something else special about. We can keep his commandments, and all of his commandments are true, but there are many truths that he's related with us that we can always overlook and think, well, I'm keeping all the commandments. Folks, every word he's uttered to us and every bit of guidance he's given to us is for our benefit. It's of great worth to us. And until we reach a state of mind where we're wanting to embrace truth, follow it all, not just what makes it comfortable for us, but keep the words that he's provided for us and understand them and always care for them and safeguard them and make sure we are those who have embraced every word he has said. For hasn't he reminded us, thou shalt live by every word, not just by every commandment, but the commandments are his words, so they're included. But there are other things that are not given to us by way of commandment. You go back and read the first chapter of Genesis right at the end again, where we were all spirits and the Lord was giving us. He didn't give us our commission, our objective in life. It wasn't by word of commandment. He was speaking to us to bless us, he says. And I blessed them after he had finished creating all the spirits of men. Then he says, then I blessed them and told them what my challenge would be. And you'll have to read it and study it. Thou shalt multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all other forms of life that move and inhabit the earth. See, we are concerned about life. And life has its concerns not only in our physical existence as we know it now, but in the life that's to come. We're to be concerned about life and preserving life and promoting life. And unless we are willing to take upon us that kind of challenge, we're falling short. We haven't embraced the truth. It's good to be with you, and I'm already over time. But the Lord has done a mighty work. He's waiting for us to show him that we want to and will pledge our life to being a helper, a co-worker, and we are thankful for the invitation that he's given to us.
Thank you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. And Lord, as we have assembled here in this place and we've witnessed this ordinance of blessing of a little one, and we've listened to the spoken word, help us, Father, to, as we head from this place to our homes, remember the events of this day and be true disciples, believing in the truth and looking upward. And we pray that thy kingdom would come and that we might be worthy to enter into its gates. Bless this congregation, we pray, Father. Bless them with the presence of your Spirit in their homes. Give them the strength to endure. May a joy well up with inside them as they remember those things that you've done for them and how it is that you bless them all the days of their lives. We ask this blessing now, and we give honor and glory unto thee in and through the name of thy Son, who is our Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen.